We are back
to the Enlightened Man podcast of the D Squad.
Enlightened.
Wait. Why was that? What was that? You know they were enlightened? You don't see us as enlightened men?
Oh, man.
Men of color here?
Oh, whoa. We're definitely enlightened men of color. I'm just laughing at what we're enlightened on.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we're enlightened on. We're still enlightened.
It's like the things that we're enlightened on might shock some people.
Actually, no, this was not going to be that shocking.
Yeah. We're good on this one.
Yeah, we got to just jump into this one. Oops. Yeah. Show my timer. And bam. So anyway, yes, welcome back to the D Squad season 3, episode 2-ish, maybe 3. We'll work it out. Anyway, we got Rick, we got D back with us, and we got B. What's so up? We got a RBD.
RBD.
And O.
What?
Wow.
He's my spirit animal.
I see that. He sure is. Sitting together anymore. Separate.
No.
The energy. No.
It's the caffeine. Just wait till the alcohol kicks in.
Hey. Oh man.
Anyway, so let's talk about our boy out there making noise that actually I didn't hear about him until like I asked literally somebody messaged me like, hey, one is the D-Squad coming back? And two, can you talk about Andrew Tate? And I didn't really know who Andrew Tate was. So I had to look him up. Mm-hmm. And when I looked him up, I was like, really? Another one of these guys, like another one.
Always.
That was my thoughts on it. So, what did you guys think about when you first heard about Andrew Tate?
I thought it was a publicity stunt. I thought he was just doing this shit just to get freaking views. But when it comes to see that he's on different platforms spouting his bullshit, and then even Joe Rogan even mentioned him a couple times.
Now, that's probably what blew him up.
Yeah.
That might have been what it was because I heard about him.
I think that's what happened. Joe Rogan.
Wait. Have you guys seen his post about he's the world's first trillionaire?
Oh my God.
No.
Please, I mean, come on, dude. Like, seriously. Like, let's just be legit and real. Like, yeah, you may be. I mean, I'm sure you're worth several $1 million. You definitely got more money than I do.
For sure.
You know, because you've been selling people this fake man product of whatever the fuck it is that you do to these squeak ass minded men. Yeah. I don't even call them men. Just call them boys.
I mean, anyway, exactly. It's just another one of those multi-level marketing bullshits where, hey, give me $300 and I make you rich.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like something like that. Yeah.
I don't even say
like
multi-level marketing bullshit.
It's just like, yeah, it's just like, I'm going to mindset you into being rich.
Mm. Okay.
Thanks for making me rich there. Yeah.
Send me $300.
Yeah, send me $300. And then, you know, 3 months down the line, send me $600 because now this is the plan that you really want to be in. Mm-hmm. And then $900 because you want to be part of this mastermind that I'm going to be going on. That's going to be the same shit over and over again. But, you know, let's keep it going.
Right.
Unreal.
And it's not so much his speaking of, I guess, like, the thing that gets me pissed off the most is his talk about women.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, you guys have listened to the podcast, you know, we kind of went in on Kim and Salmonson already. But I think this dude, Andrew Tate, takes it to a whole new level.
No. This guy, he didn't even, like, pop up on my radar. He literally, like, I heard the name, I heard that everybody hated him, and I was just like,
it's because he got canceled. I think it's not that he got canceled that people are talking about him.
Yeah,
but that's the problem.
Is this guy even worth my time to like even like look into? I didn't look into him for the longest time, and then you guys kept talking about him.
Oh yeah, he got a shadow ban.
Yeah. But he had that.
No, he got canceled. Yeah, he got kicked off.
Yeah, but I mean, he really just seems like he was lonely for the majority of his life, and he blames it all on women. So now it's just become a thing where he has to like shame all of them.
Well, he says that women are property.
Yeah, exactly. So he has to make them seem lesser because most of his life he felt lesser to them, or he felt like he was treated lesser.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what it just boils down to. It's the bullied becoming the bully as an adult, like the bullied in school, and then you get older and now you're the bully. Like
the thing about type thing. What do you think? Bullies, they've gotten hurt. Someone hurt them.
Yeah.
For them to hurt other people.
Yeah.
You know, I dated a girl that used to say like hurt people, and I'm just like, but they don't have to. Like, I mean, I thought she was talking about me or whatever. I think she was talking about herself. You know, like no, the bad guy. She was talking about herself.
Like, she's trying to hurt.
I'm like,
huh? She's trying to hurt you?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, man.
No, Osai was trying to choke you.
I was not.
Osai was hurting.
No,
her.
I was
and
not.
She was like, yo, who hurt you?
Right.
Nah.
Why are you choking me like I owe you money?
Right. Like who hurt you?
We don't
dare you to do this to me.
I mean, first of all,
I just gave Osai a whole new angle on that situation. Now he's like, shit. Is that
I should have said nothing. Right. You guys always take it on some other tangent. God damn it. Anyway,
yes.
D, who just heard about Andrew this morning.
Yeah, I had no idea who this loser was. And then
I sent her the greatest hits of his TikTok.
Yeah, and like each TikTok, I was ready to TikTok him in the head several times over again. As soon as I saw it, the first thing that came to my mind is, okay, third grade, back of the class. Oh no, front of the class. Braces, glasses, no friends.
Yeah.
Your whole life. And that's always been you. Every girl that you ever, no friends, like no friends, not even just women. I think that he was isolated from everybody his whole life, and probably from his own insecurities, not because people left him out. A lot of people get left out because they leave themselves out.
Right. That is facts.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's what I get. That was the concept. As soon as I saw him, it's like, bro,
yeah,
nobody listened to you as a child. And now somebody's giving you an opportunity to speak with on your mind.
Hmm. So you're saying, well, you cops created, were bullies at one point.
Yeah,
yeah. You created a character that, like, and that's the thing about it. So like, he got canceled, and he's getting like all the. And the person that asked me about it was like, you know, the thing about it's just like, there's a lot of young boys coming out watching him, and they're reposting him, or they're reposting things that he said, and so it's becoming more endemic. Like, you know, it's like seeping into the culture of this. So that's why I was like, is it breeding, like, you know, that whole incel mentality of like boys? Because I'm a man, you know, I should have a woman that stays at home, that cooks and cleans, and you know, so in a broader sense too, I mean, talk about him some more, but I also want to get into this concept of this new breed of like this so-called this fake alpha male mentality. Of like, damn, we can't be alpha wrong. Male. We are.
We call it fam. Fake alpha male.
Yeah, fam. Yeah, fam. I love it. You know what? Let's classify it. The fam mentality. I love it.
Fam mentality.
Yeah, that fam mentality. Like, you know, the thing about it is just like, you know, people think to be, you know, and it's the same category of like people talking about, I'm the lone wolf. The lone wolf is like, and there's no such thing as really a lone wolf. Wolf always runs in, they always run a pack. If you are a lone wolf, something happened, you got ousted, you got kicked out, you are pretty much going to be dying, you know, on your own if you're the lone wolf. You know what I mean? But that, and the leader of the wolf pack doesn't lead from the front, he leads from the back.
Exactly. Pack of one.
Pack.
Yeah, pack of one. But you know, we had that, you know, you have that, you know, I remember a friend who's like, yeah, he had his Instagram was like lone wolf MMA, you know, da da da. I'm just like, look into it. Like, you know, we sell ourselves on this bag of goods of what it takes to be what an alpha is or whatever it is. And like, let's just be honest. One, everybody's not meant to be an alpha. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have an alpha female. You can have alpha males. You do have. But like, are all you? No. Probably for like every 1,000 men out there, there's probably like 2 or 3.
Maybe.
You know, maybe. Exactly. Maybe. A lot of you guys, I'm sorry to say, you guys are just straight up beta bitches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I beta? I mean, certain aspects of it, I sure am. I step back and I'm like, you know what? I'm cool. But I'm cool in my zone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when I have to step up, I step up.
Exactly.
But I guys like this, you know, it's like I want to take him and I want to be like, and he's like a champion kickboxer, supposedly, you know, whatever. I mean, it seems, I watched his fight. I did watch his fight. And I'm like, bro, my old ass can still take you. So, I mean, if you want to go down, throw down, I'll throw down with you.
Let's say
you
throw down.
Hold out.
I'll throw down.
I do understand the whole alpha mentality thing. And then, like, as well as, like, you know, you don't have to be alpha all the time. It's the thing. It's like, if you... Sometimes I will sit back. I'll sit back in a group and I'll just fucking chillax. I don't have to take charge. I don't have to make the decisions. And then there's times where I'm like, hey, you know what? In this group, I do need to take charge. Otherwise, we're going to get nowhere.
Here's the thing.
See, but that's the thing is, when you're an alpha, you know when to be alpha. Right. It doesn't mean that you have to be dominant all the time.
Right.
It's you know when to step in and take the authority and take the initiative. That's a real alpha. Yeah. Not somebody who's constantly beating somebody down and trying to always show their dominance. That's not alpha. That's an insecure man.
No, that's insecure. That's insecure. That's you hiding the fact that you are a scared little boy hiding in the body of a grown ass man.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that he said that I found just like completely hilarious. He's like, yeah, you know, because like if we're sitting down and like, you know, some terrorist comes in and like, you know, blows the brain out, you know, explodes the head of the guy next to you, you know, you're probably just going to sit there and scream or cry or whatever. Meanwhile, I'm used to it, so I'm going to grab my gun. I'm going to go out there and take out some terrorists and da 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 and all that shit.
Oh, God.
Bruh.
How many video games did you play?
Yeah.
Far too many. Far too many. Far too fucking many.
This ain't Call of Duty, bro.
Yeah, for man. Real. I'm saying, for like, he definitely, like, you know, and it's the hot... I'm gonna blame Hollywood. It's the Hollywood mentality of this shit. Like, you know, like what it is to be an alpha male and, you know, da da da, stuff like that. No, motherfucker. Like, I'm serious. Like, even if you are seasoned, hardcore veteran, special operations, whatever, whatever, your ass is still gonna jump when some shit like that happens. You know what I mean? You're gonna jump and you're gonna react. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But for most of us who haven't had that training, like if you never had somebody blow somebody's brain off next to you or hear a gunfire in an enclosed space, your first instinct is to dive under the nearest fucking table. If not the table, you're gonna try and crawl into a crack in the wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's your first instinct. You know, and I don't know. Like he lives in this fantasy world, and the thing about it is like he sells, he pushes it, and all these little boys and these kids are, and not even just kids, but these grown ass men are taking it and believing it and thinking like, this is what it takes. This is the fallacy of manhood.
Because anybody can be whatever they want to be on the internet.
That's true.
I can put up a video and I'm the baddest bitch in the world for those 30 seconds.
Right.
And that's what you perceive because you see 1,500 posts of 30 seconds of me being a bad bitch, and this is what you think that I am.
Right.
And society gives people like him the opportunity to be this influence.
Yeah.
And these young men who have no guidance, who have no influence, who have no mentors, because mentors aren't like they used to be, like big brothers, big sisters. Like it used to really be a thing for other people to step outside of themselves and mentor and mm-hmm. help raise the youth and bring the mm-hmm. youth up with outside, outside experiences other than your family, other than your mom, your dad. And I think that's a big thing lacking, especially in the men.
Mm-hmm.
Men need other men to look up to.
Like real men. Like I mean real like men. Real men. Like not loud, boisterous, like, you know, I'm a scared little boy playing as a man, playing the role as a man.
Yeah.
You had to have gone through some experiences. You have to be able to be you have to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have your vulnerable spots. You have to know where you're good at and where you're not good at.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, like it's the same deal. Like, I mean, honestly, like if it's like gunplay, like, you know, something like that, like, yeah, somebody pulls out a gun and starts shooting, I'm running.
Exactly.
Somebody comes at me and tries to throw hands, that's my world. Like, I'm walking straight forward into that one. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's just the reality of life. It's like, I know where I am and what I'm good at. And am I training to be good at some other things? Yes, I'm training to be good at a lot of other things. But I also know, like, yes, and if I step into the ring for a fight, am I scared? Yes, I'm fucking scared. I'm scared. I still get the job done. It's okay to be fearful. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that I see like nowadays, like this has become pretty endemic with people, is that the fallacy of changing your mind. You know, like if you said something and you fucked up, instead of saying I fucked up and I said the wrong thing.
Oh, you don't see that anymore.
No, they're just like they're gonna double down or gonna triple down. Like, no, I was right.
They'll go
looking for the things to make you feel like you are right.
Right.
That is not being alpha. That's not taking responsibility. That's like, you know, that's the same thing. It's like if you were the so-called alpha leader of a pack and your ass started walking towards water and you started walking the wrong way with your whole crew,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna double down, triple down. You're gonna get everybody killed. Instead of saying halfway through, like, you know what? I fucked up. I was wrong. Let's go back.
Right.
Let's change my mind. Let's do this a different way.
Nice.
You know, like, be adaptable to shit. But, I mean, like, you know, it's like I said, it's just like, you don't think how you, the thoughts that I had when I was 15 do not translate to what I had now. You know what I mean? My idealism of 15 does not translate to what I'm thinking now at 46.
So, you think this guy, like, maybe during his kickboxing career, maybe got a concussion or something?
Maybe.
You see these guys, bro. Like early in their careers, they're making complete sentences, and they're pretty calm. But you know, one of the
as it goes down, a couple years later,
they become a little angrier.
Yeah,
because I think that's part of like a concussion, like a deep concussion.
Yeah,
like they're just mad at the motherfucker. Like, you know.
That's a good point.
I mean,
I got kicked in the head too many times
right.
by the women in the class.
Right.
Exactly.
Never know. And I saw that there was some clip that of him and his girl, and they do the BDSM thing. Like he plays the dominant, but the clip got taken out of context because
uh-huh.
she kind of liked it. But then, isn't it the sub's responsibility to every once in a while check their dom to make sure it's not abuse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, in the reality of a BDSM relationship, the true dominant is a submissive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so if he thinks he's the dom and there's a BDSM relationship, bro, you're really the bitch.
Yeah.
Because the submissive is gonna, it's, you're just playing a role.
Yeah.
The
mm-hmm.
submissive is the one with the true power because they have their kill word. They have, you know, yeah. what they like, what they don't like. So right. they can stop it at any time.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Other than that, you're playing a role to fill
to
their
fulfill
void.
Their fantasy. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, I mean, people look at it like that. Like, seriously, like, I mean, I guess he kind of put it out there. You know, if you people in the real, like, BDSM world know, like, listen, the sub is the one who have the real power.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, they're the go or no go. Yeah. They right. can kill it at any moment.
Any moment.
But yeah. being, like, romantically dog. Involved with a guy like that, like, wouldn't...
How is that possible? Yeah. That's my question.
Nah, it's a bit rough.
He has to be completely different. I can almost guarantee... that he is nothing like he his persona. That
the
he
the online persona.
I guarantee for him to be in an actual relationship where this woman is really coming out and letting everybody see her with him.
Yeah.
Either she has the lowest self-esteem in the world or he is a completely different person.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of women that are stuck in abusive relationships that haven't gotten out of it.
This is true.
That's you know? True. That is true.
She could be in that emotional, you know, emotionally bruised and publicly like that too. Like
Stockholm
fuck.
Syndrome or some bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That
I
for sure.
I don't deserve any better.
Yeah.
Just he's, yeah
he really loves me though.
Her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He loves me.
He might slap me across the plate, across the face in an Italian restaurant, but deep down he loves me.
Yeah,
he does. I think he does worse. He like, you know, emotionally abuses her. Yeah, verbally abuses her. Out in public, that's emotional abuse at the same time. And yeah. like,
there's that thin line with that game.
Yeah,
it can get bad. It can go abused in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's why you usually have the kill word. And when they, you know, they usually kill it, they're disrespecting. But if you just take off on your own and do that shit, I know there's all types, and unfortunately, there's all types of roles and all types of people in this world. Mm. But this idea of glamorizing this aspect of it. I think it's a big detriment for kids. Like, you know, and like Dee was saying that, you know, having a big brother, big sister, or, you know, looking out for the youth used to be a bigger, better thing. Now we're advocating that to like people on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they're mm-hmm. learning differently. They're learning mm-hmm. the wrong way. They're learning, it's all about the popularity of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it used to be like, you know, where and being in marketing and stuff like that, it's like you used to be like, okay, be authentic with your message. Be authentic to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will follow you for that. You know, we talked about your OnlyFans. Like, you know, mm-hmm. being authentic is what people really do want. But I guess there's an aspect out there of people who just want the popularity aspect. Oh, look, he's so cool. Oh, like he's getting, I want to be like him because he has 6.8 million followers.
Yeah, he has all these likes.
Yeah, he has all these likes or whatever.
Likes
whatever.
Don't pay the bills, right?
No.
I mean, for him, it obviously does because, like, you know, unfortunately, dude, people have thrown money at him. And you get to a certain level, once you pass a certain threshold, yes, you do get the
Who
money.
The fuck's paying this guy? Who's throwing money at
Bro,
him?
Bro, this, like, I mean, he's a legit millionaire. He's made millions off of this persona and this, you know, the crap that he's selling, like, whatever
Hopefully
it is.
Hopefully,
like,
he's not doing it anymore since he's kind of come up on news.
No. I think he still is. I think even more so now. Like, people can't get to him on social media, so now they're just going to his website and buying his stuff.
Or what
like
say,
like I said, he promotes people to promote his message.
Right.
So, like, he may not be on it, but his message and what he says, these kids are... Just go through TikTok.
And no, I see it. He gets on people's shows and stuff, and they do interviews with
bad
him.
Publicity.
That's how he's getting out.
No such thing as bad publicity. As long as you're in the limelight, you're doing something.
Somebody's getting it.
Somebody's paying attention.
That's a bad problem.
And he's
going to
go down with this because otherwise he'll just be considered a fraud.
Right. So he's gonna ride it
till the wheels fall off.
Straight up.
Little boys and girls, don't listen to Andrew Tate.
Yes, correct. 100%.
But are we hyping him up because we are talking about him?
Fair enough.
I think
this was like an awareness moment.
Exactly.
Not really like a hype up moment, but just like an awareness moment. Like, hey, we are aware of this behavior, and if you're listening, please be aware that this behavior is not okay.
Yes,
we don't.
It's very toxic.
Yes,
we don't need more toxic males in the world right now.
Nah, we got plenty of those already.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing about it. Like, digging into this whole manosphere thing, like I said, that the whole fake, the fam mentality, the fake alpha male mentality. Like, what do you guys think? Where do you think it's leading us to?
Bunch of bitches.
Hate. It's just hate trying to be hate. you know?
And
honestly,
the thing, as a woman, speaking from a woman's perspective, like, it's already hard enough to be a woman in this world.
Yeah.
Like, it is. It's already hard enough. We don't need men out there that are very impressionable to younger men making us less than what we are.
Right.
You know, we have to fight and struggle for same pay. I do the same job that the dude at my job does, and he gets paid $5 more than me.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, we already are here.
Yeah.
Why is, we don't need anybody else pushing us down, period. Like, and as a people, we just need to support each other. And when you tear each other down like that, it's never a good thing.
I feel that women are becoming more powerful. I think women are coming up. They're getting out there more, and I think it's upsetting a certain,
that exactly,
and they're just trying to keep them down, you know,
like, of course,
with bullshit like this, and
this is just gonna make more lesbians.
I mean, it's just like everything else.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right. It's like, damn, all the guys out here are just fucking manosphere.
Talk about manosphere and fam there, bro. Really? Did you just say that? Dude, we're just talking about it. Dude, fucking Rick.
This continues through the manosphere, and every guy is going to be a douchebag, and all these women are going to be like, fuck this shit. I'm just going to fucking go be with a woman then, if all the guys are going to be like this.
Listen.
There's more and more bi people now.
That's the way I was spinning it. Like, everybody starts following the manosphere, and then all the girls are going to be like, well, fuck this, we don't want this, so right, we're just gonna go with this.
No, but I'll be honest with you, like, I have seen some lesbian women buying into the femme mentality. Like, they think they have to be super alpha,
right? Oh,
they have to be like super
to fit the bill. Yeah,
I've seen it with one of my best friends. Like, she was dating a chick that anytime she was like, and her and I, like, you know, we're really good friends, we're very close, and yeah, I mean, I can see the jealousy there, whatever. She would take, and she would be walking with her, instead of holding her hand, she put her hand on top of her head.
What?
And walk with it. Yeah.
Like, first
and like direct her head, like when she was like, if she was like trying to talk to me, and she'll turn her head straight.
What?
Interesting.
What?
Yes. What kind of? Yes. I don't care what type of relationship that is. That's.
She was in an emotionally abusive relationship with that one.
Yeah, that's some next level shit. Right,
sure.
There.
But I've seen some women who do go into that. Like, I think, like, in a sense, like, you know, women who are lesbian sometimes, I don't know. I don't know where they pattern themselves off of. Like, I can't say, like, you know, they definitely, because you see a lot of them that don't, but then some, I think, just buy into that mentality too. Like, they see the dudes and they see, like, how these guys are acting. So they feel like, all right, I'm already more manly than most of the chicks. So I start playing into that role. Like, you know, you had a couple, like, lesbian chicks that they see that are like that or in that mode of you know, that fake alpha mentality, and they start buying into it as well. And I'm not saying it's not as big as, like, you know, like as it is in men, but I have seen some lesbian women start to react like that, or start to, like, you know, they act like that, and it's just like, it's not you. Like, I mean, you can see it's plainly like a show being put on. The same thing, like, with this dude, like Andrew Tate, like, you gotta see, like, it's a show.
It's
a show. Like, he's with the sunglasses on everywhere and stuff like that. It is a show. He is a character. The problem is when people take that character and make it real. You know, it's the same thing, like, believing in, like, you know, Captain America.
I feel like this should follow under that episode of Toxic Male Masculinity.
Yes. Yes.
This is like episode 3 of that.
Unfortunately, you know,
we keep bringing it up.
I think so. And I think we're going to always be addressing it. Yeah. Because, you know, we're men, and we get hammered with it a lot. You know, we see it in our everyday life. And I think, you know, being fathers, stepfathers, and just being men of experience, you know, we have to reacting like, you know, let's show people there's a better way, like, you know.
Yeah,
I see and smell it. I mean, like for instance, I can sense the masculinity or toxic masculinity, like, in public. Have you ever noticed, I'm a wide guy.
Damn.
I'm a wide guy, and I'm walking down the street, and there's other guys that don't want to move.
Oh, my God.
Like, what? Like, that is so subtle. Like, okay.
I hate that.
Okay. And so you know what I'm talking about,
exactly,
right?
What you're talking about.
They'll just come in there, just, even the littlest motherfuckers, they just come out just bowed up, just trying to walk and try to plow through people. Like, no, motherfucker, you need to move the fuck out. Like,
exactly.
You're on my side of the sidewalk, you know?
But, you know, being a big black guy, it's like, it's funny because like,
right?
Some people, yeah, oh yeah, some people
they'll bounce right off of you.
Yeah, people tell me like, oh, because you're
weird
size,
flex,
like, people don't want to. I said, actually, I get picked on a lot. Not picked on, but like people target me a lot.
They target you more.
Yeah, they target me more because like, oh, this guy's not gonna do anything. Watch, I'm gonna get loud in public and see what he does. Like,
right.
You know, and I'll be the one dude that's like, I ain't backing out, homie. Like, seriously, you know, I almost got into it in a nightclub with this dude, and like, the dude's bigger than me, and I'm just like, I literally stared this guy down.
You're really gonna get mad about this.
Huh?
You're just gonna mad about this.
It's the same thing. Like, he was trying to push through the crowd, and like, he's pushing me against my girl, against the bar. And I'm like, I put my hand out, push him off.
Right.
And he turns and looks at me and says, like, you know, don't put your hands on me. And like, I walk right up to this guy's face. I'm staring, like, my head is up looking at him with a smile on my face.
Right.
Like, I'm just ready for you, bro.
Yeah.
I'm just ready for you.
I've trained for this day.
I'm just like.
And toxic male masculinity,
this is
right?
That's right.
This is what we do. Yeah. But this is what we have to do.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm sorry.
Know.
This is
just
what we
as have men in general.
I didn't have to get loud. I had to be boisterous. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to prove anything to anybody else. This dude turned his head and walked away.
Right.
You know what I mean, plain and simple. Like, I mean, if this was this dude, that shit happened to Andrew, he'd probably start jumping around, calling him, like, "Yo, you want to fight me? Yeah. You want to fight me?"
Yeah.
No, man, come on.
Everything just gets real quiet.
Yeah, like, everything gets real quiet. You get real focused.
Cause you're just like, boom. Everything just like beelines to that one person. Just slows down. It's like, I just need you to swing once.
My thing, yeah.
And then we're off.
Yeah, and my thing is just like, I'm just gonna. It is literally like, I dismantled this guy without disturbing the crowd.
Yep.
He was gonna end up on the floor, and nobody's gonna know why.
Yeah.
To be honest, that's false. I don't need you to just swing once, to be honest. I just need you to get into a threatening position.
Yeah.
Defensive.
Like, once you get in, like, if you're, like, really close to my face, I'll act first.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to act second. Like,
I don't believe your ground state. So.
Yeah. I don't believe in acting second if you're that close.
No.
Like, if you're shouting and yelling and stuff like that, but you're, like, more than arm's length away, you're not a threat to me.
Yeah. Right.
But, like, once you get, like, shouting, screaming, yelling, oh, you want to fight? And, like, you're in my, I have to act because you're in my space.
Right.
Like,
right.
100%. I don't believe just because, like, you know, like, we train and everything like that, like, you same thing in training, strike first.
Right.
Yeah. So if they're in your zone where they can physically
control the ring,
strike first.
Yep.
I'm like, nope, sorry.
Yep. Yeah, take them out.
Nope.
And saying that too, like, we see that in our studio, in our gym, when we're training, you know, you have these guys that come in and they just, you know, we're sparring, we're going, it's like, hey, everybody's going 30% or whatever. And like, keep it at the, and they want to go hard, or are training in jiu-jitsu, you know, those guys who want to smash people all the time,
right,
and stuff like that. And they think, like, you know, just because, like, I went with somebody else, and like say, like, I'm training with, like, D, if it's like your first time, and I let you, I'll let you get like several hits, you'll punch me in the face, stuff like that. I'm just like, boom, 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 boom. I don't have nothing to prove to you, you know what I mean? I'm giving you confidence to build you up, you know. And they see that, and they're like, they're coming in, they start swinging hard on me, and I'm just like, all right, bro, like, if you want to step it up, I have no problem stepping it up.
Facts.
I would roll with B. And B, I'll let him get in position or whatever. He taps, I'll tap. I have no problem tapping.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Especially, you know, if going with somebody that's lighter or younger, less experienced or whatever. If you come in there and you're going to try and throw your full weight and your full strength, they have not seen, like, the true me come out until they get to that point. And then it's just like, okay, this is what we're doing. I will step it up. I will take it up to your level, whichever way that you want me to. Like, you want to go hard? Sure, bro. I have no problem going hard. You know, I'm, you know, unfortunately for me, like, I'm very chill and calm now. But, like, you know, growing up back in the days, you know, street fighting was nothing for me.
Yeah.
That's actually, like, I get more calm in a street fight than I do walking into the ring.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I threw a guy not too long ago for doing that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You threw a guy?
Yeah, during jiu-jitsu.
Oh, okay. I was like...
Yeah, you get these young kids that come... The same thing. You get these young kids that come in, and they, like, they just go... They go crazy.
Right.
They go white belt stupid. I'm like... Right.
No, I did one of them over the shoulder judo throws on him. He didn't see that coming, bro.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Yeah, his leg hit the pole that's in the middle of it. He's like, oh, I'm like, you came at me, bro.
It's like, come at me, bro.
I just want to flow roll, man. That's just all I want to do.
B's like, man, I just want to go through the motions, get my rotations get my positions.
Cause
bang, bang, boom.
I'm a good training partner, you know?
That's right.
I want to talk it through. Like, this is what I'm working on. I don't want to just, hey, let's just murder each other for 5 minutes.
Right. But saying that, like, you know, if you're a true leader in your group, talking to young boys here, like, and females too, like, if you're a true leader in your group, your job is not to stand on everybody else's head to say that you're the leader.
Right.
It's to be under them and hold them up.
Right.
To show them that you are their support.
You're empowering them.
Yeah, you're empowering them. That's the role of a true leader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the role of a true alpha, like
and
you are.
And a dom.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Right. It's support. It's playing a role that you know that you need to play. And yeah, caring for them.
That's right.
Making sure that they're getting out of it something. You know, like I said, one of my biggest traits or biggest thing I love is like but I have loads of bad traits. One of the things I do love is that like I like when somebody like if I've been training with you for a year and I'm legit like trying and you catch me with something good, I'm just like puts a smile on my face. It makes me look it up a little bit more like damn that's scary. But you know, I said, I was telling Rick, like, you know, Rick was saying how I was training out to get some of his strength back. I was like, listen, I started off rolling very lightly with Rick, but then I had to, like, quickly within the first 30 seconds, like, this dude is freakishly strong for his size. He looks like a wimp.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's got some freakish strength, and I'm just like, okay, let me turn it up. I have to go from like, you know, turn that level up, like recalibrate. Be like, he is strong as fuck.
Where I'm from, we call that cock strong.
Yeah,
cock strong. You know, it's funny because like I was getting that compliment a lot, and I was like, yo, like I must look like shit. And then people were like, yo, like you're really strong. And then like I remember there being like it being like a slight like you know jab if you're like in jiu-jitsu. And
yeah,
like,
it
yo,
is an
like,
insult.
It's like, oh, like oh, you're really so strong. Like yeah. You're so strong, it's like an insult because it's like you're just.
What are you talking about? Mario still tells me that.
Yeah,
every time I roll Mario, you're good strength. Yeah. I didn't survive 10 seconds with him.
Yeah, so it's just you use your strength and stuff. And then it wasn't until I went to the Gracie's gym for the open mat, and then a lot of people were saying like, "Hey man, like you're really strong." And I was like, "Oh, I was like, damn, like way to slap me in my face." And then they were like, "No, like you don't understand. Like when we come up to you, like I came up to you, I shook your hand, and we went to roll. Uh-huh. I didn't think you were gonna like have that grip strength or that strength, but." And once you touched me,
yes,
right.
I felt all of that went away,
power.
And I was like, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
Exactly.
And then it was like, "Bing, bing, bing." You're on my back in 30 seconds, and I was like, "Yo, what the fuck is happening?"
Yep.
And,
that's what I mean. Yes, you can't play. You could fuck around to find out. Right. That's the thing. Yeah. This is like fuck around and find out.
I am the fuck around and find out. It's like, oh, you fucked around? All right, he found out. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. So
now,
like I said,
yeah. At this point, I get it too much now. So I'm like, okay, apparently, I guess I do have more strength than I actually physically appear that I have. Like, I get it too much now. So.
I do it too much. They're, yeah. Like, you're too strong. Like, stop.
You tired.
Please stop.
Stop.
If you're not talking and joking when you're rolling jiu-jitsu, hey, you're taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
100%.
I feel that.
I roll with B and him. We'll be like, he'll stop, so I stop with him. I was like, all right, I'll just take a break with you.
And,
after he's like, what did I do? Why can I work? I was like, you should stop moving. So I stopped moving too.
Yeah.
I was like, let you catch your breath. I don't know. Like, let's go.
I mean, you're a big dude, bro. Like, yeah, just don't rest around you, bro.
Well, that's my thing. It's like, I just want to be throwing my weight around.
I know.
Like, we stop and break.
I mean, to move you around is like, Jesus.
Can I get my knee in here for a little bit to kind of like get some air?
I had to remind Osai we're not on a date, bro. Like, I know this seems very, you know, erotic, but.
Sorry, last time I checked, you have two legs. I'm counting three.
I know, right?
Like, wow.
Well, I know there's nothing in your pocket because we don't have pockets.
That went sideways with the whole alpha talk real quick.
Oh, hell.
We went from, like, you know, toxic masculinity to prison bitch and shit.
I mean,
who's
if you really think
my
about
leg
it.
Down there.
If you think about it, there is some alpha play there.
Mm.
Yeah. Big spoon, little spoon.
Yeah, big spoon, little spoon, alpha play. Oh my god.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I was joking
back
with
to
Sean
the kids.
Last night.
I did not mean to make jiu-jitsu sexual.
Yeah, you just did.
Yet here we are.
Yes, exactly. Here we are. What are you saying? You were joking with Sean the other day on what?
Oh, no, me and Sean were rolling yesterday. Not yesterday, Thursday in jiu-jitsu. And I had his arms. Like, I had, like, I was trying to go for a arm lock. And then he was, like, he had my leg. I was in the half guard. And I was like, let go of my leg. And he's like, let go of my arm. I'm like, let go of my leg. Let go of my arm. And I was like, okay, I'll let go of your arm if you let go of my leg. And we're just joking because we're just, like, going around the mat and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, you freak. He's like, you freakishly strong, dude. I'm like, you take grip, motherfucker. Shit.
But speaking of like jujitsu and like, you know, even just any other kind of martial arts, some striking arts, some jujitsu, even though like, you know, this guy Andrew Tate says he was a champion kickboxer or whatever the fuck he was, I don't think he was a true martial artist. And like, I think like, guys, if you really want to develop a, like, you know, girls and guys, you want to develop a true mentality of what it is to be a leader, like, you got to train some martial arts.
Look up the 753 code. Valente Brothers go by that.
753 code?
Yeah. The warrior code?
Yeah. Yeah, you can explain it to him, B.
Yeah, no, go for it.
I'm still learning it myself.
Oh, okay.
You know what? That's a good one. Let's do that and we can talk about it. I know it, so like, but I want all you guys to like pick it up.
Yeah.
And we'll do these.
Is it a book or is it like a video or?
No, it's just a code. It's like a
just code. A code? Just,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But
different virtues of a warrior.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Like right talk.
753.
Yeah, 753 code. I mean, one of the things too is like, even with the world of jiu-jitsu, like over here in on the East Coast, there was a lot of like the black belts, the higher belts, they were just a lot of smashing. You come in, you know, especially if, like, a lot of times your first day, you get smashed or tossed around the mat, and if you can't hang, then you leave.
Right.
You know, that's a dumb mentality. On the West Coast, it was a lot more like subtle, gentle. Like, you know, it doesn't matter which school you train at, they would have these like jujitsu barbecues, and you can come from this school. Everybody's training together. Nobody's trying to smash each other. You know, before, like over here, you come in with a different gi on from another school, they're gonna instantly try to smash you or prove that they're better. Where it's just like, no, it's just like, you know, like, I'm, and the good thing about our school is combining with you know, with the Gracies that we did, mm-hmm. is that we have a like mentality, whereas it's about learning and it's about training together.
A positive environment.
It's like, you know, Joe Rogan talked about the ritualistic aspect of jiu-jitsu, which it is. You put yourself in a dangerous situation and at any point you can tap and start over.
Yeah.
And the thing about, like, you know, and we tell a lot of white belts and stuff like that, it's like, don't be afraid to tap. You know what I mean? To get to a brown belt level, you have to tap a lot. You're still gonna be tapping out. Even as a black belt, you're gonna be tapped out a lot. There's some jiu-jitsu black belts out there that are just like insane or freakishly crazy. And then there's some purple belts out there that are just like really fucking good. And even as a black belt, you can still get tapped out by a purple belt. Like, you know, and there used to be like a stigma, like, oh, if you black belt, you get tapped out by that. You know, you shouldn't let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they just get you. It's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's really okay. It's just, like I said, it's the whole aspect of ritual combat. You're not in the actual arena.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're on the street, something like that, different world, different story.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know, like, but yeah, so to figure out your leader, what you really are as far as a leader goes, guys, get into the martial arts, train something and lose a lot. You have to lose a lot. You have to humble yourself to learn more. Because if you come in there with your cup full and be like, I'm going to tap this guy out, I'm going to choke him out, I'm going to put him in an arm bar, and you never get it, you're not learning what they did to avoid it. You're not learning how they got out of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's just an aspect of life. This aspect of growth. You have to learn to lose. You mm-hmm. have to learn to be vulnerable. You have to learn to put yourself in a bad situation, or even in a bad situation, like how to breathe and survive it. I said, there was one time I was wrong with a black belt that had me in a situation. Like, he didn't even have me in a position or in a hold. There was no submission going on. I just felt smothered. Smothered to the point where I was about to panic and tap, and I had to talk myself out of it. Like, all right, just settle back, breathe through this, you know, like, you can survive this, you know, da 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 da, like, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, but.
And it applies to everything in life.
Yeah.
Like,
it does.
You can use it in everything.
Yeah, use anything. I don't get loud. I don't, like, you know, run and hide from it, or I'm just like, I'm never going to do it again. I wanted to get back in there, put myself in that scenario, put myself in that situation to see, like, okay, I can react. I can do better. I can do better. And it's like, I may not get it perfect, but I can do better. You know, and that's what it is. It's that 1%, you know, like, yeah, B says, now he's like, hey, 1% better. Yeah, every time you come in, 1% better. That's
1%
all.
Better.
That's the only way you get to 100.
Yeah.
And you never get to 100, but, you know, every day it's another 1%.
You're better than how you're better than when you were yesterday. That's it. Like, can I beat who I was yesterday, straight up?
Right.
Like, I walk in the gym the next day, can I beat the guy that was here yesterday?
Not beating on somebody else. Not beating on women.
No. Myself. You know?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just emphasizing that for people. Like, I'm not beating on anybody else. I'm not stepping on anybody else's head. I'm not, like, proving that I'm the king of the white belts, or I'm the king of the purple belts, or I'm the king of the black people in my neighborhood, or I'm the king of the white people in my neighborhood, or whatever, whatever. It's just, you know, support your community. You want to be a true leader? Support. Figure out how you can help and support your community. If people are coming to you for help or for answers, It's because they see you as a leader.
Yeah. They're like something missing.
That's a true alpha.
Yeah, they're looking for that.
Yeah, the role of alpha is not given. It's bestowed.
Exactly. It's funny. Exactly. I was telling I was teaching my daughter about that. I said, it don't matter what you say or do, who you hang out with. Like, you put out that energy, people are going to come to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I kept reminding her, don't be the smartest person in the room. And she was hanging out with some people, some girls that they are not the brightest, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're sweet, they're nice, but she started feeling like she was being used. Like, okay, she stopped hanging out with them. Mm-hmm. I kind of noticed that she felt like she was a little lonely, but she only went one day without hanging out with them in the school. And she said, Dad, so many people came up to me today. I'm like, yeah, because you put out that energy. Like, you didn't give a fuck. You had that alpha energy. Mm-hmm. People are going to gravitate to you.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And now she's still busy as shit. Now her old friends are bitter and fuck. You know, they just give her the eye. And she's like, whatever, man. Like, I'm not, I got shit to do. I can't be fucking around with you guys. And then now she's really searching for, like, expanding her mind and her spirit, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
And just hanging out with people that could do that for her.
Good energy.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Because she was always arguing with these little girls. And I'm like, why y'all fucking fight so much as friends? Like, if you're fighting, well, you know, they said that that's what friends do. And I'm like,
Nope.
Friends don't cut each other down.
Not
like, you just don't fucking do that.
Not at all.
Nope. So you come across people like that, get the fuck away from them. Mm. Move on.
Yep. 100%.
So,
100%.
Right. They're about to wrap this one up.
All right.
Don't listen to Andrew Tate.
Fuck Andrew Tate.
Don't listen to Andrew Tate.
Never.
Yeah.
Alpha male energy doesn't come from abusing other people.
No.
It comes from having an emotional and clear state where people can come to you and you can guide them and make sure that they're straight and they're good.
Exactly.
You don't have to have it turned on 24/7. No.
Mm-hmm. Abusive men are not that they're trying to be doms or giving regular doms a bad name. And it's confusing to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is only sexual when clothes are off.
And 50 Shades of Grey is bullshit.
You say this because the geese, you know, the belt comes off and then the geese are being used and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you still got the belt, that's different.
Yeah. My thing is, like, doesn't matter male or female. If you want to be a leader, figure out how to serve and be a support system. You know, you can't. It's not. You know, being a leader is not a gift that you take. You know, and that's the mentality that people have, and I think that's the problem in the manosphere, is that people think it's something I have to go out there and take. I have to demand that people follow me. I have to demand my place and my rights or whatever. It is not. It's not like that. It's a bestowed. It's a gift. It's a trust that people place in you.
Yeah.
And if you try to take it, you know, I mean, you're just faking the funk. And then for everybody that believes in that taking shit, like, you know, you try to follow after that guy, you're gonna be just, I mean, in an even worse state.
Setting yourself up for failure.
Setting yourself up for failure. And somebody told me, I was reading this, and just to end on this note, you guys could think about it a little bit more, but people look at politicians as leaders. Politicians are all followers. Everything that they think, do, and say is follow.
Yeah.
They are never, ever leaders.
Mm-mm.
And on that note, we'll see you guys on the next edition of the
D-Squad.
Peace.